Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs, chapter number 18. I've got into this series on the how-tos, and I just keep coming up with these thoughts on how-to. And every time I begin reading and praying and asking the Lord for direction and service, He gives me another how-to. And so here tonight, we're going to look at another how-to. We talked about this morning, how to worship the Lord. And I really hope you got something from that. I hope that was a help to you. I hope that all these how-tos are a help to you, how to study your Bible, how to trust in the Lord, and all these things that we've been going over. Tonight, I want to look at another how-to in the Bible, and this is related to our homes, our families. And tonight, we're going to discuss on how to have friendship in our marriage. How to have friendship in our marriage. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Of course, we all know who that friend is, but the Scripture says the man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We're going to look at several other verses of Scripture dealing with friendship and being friendly and what the Scripture has to say with that. First of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us tonight to be in Your house. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You, Father, for Your mercy. Thank You for the privilege to be back at the house of God once again tonight. And I pray, God, You'd help us, Lord, to worship, Lord, in the service. I pray that we've already done that in our giving. I thank You, Father, for allowing us to do that. And I pray, God, our hearts are in tune with You tonight. And God, I pray that You'd help us as we study this passage of Scripture. Very familiar passages, Lord, that we'll look at tonight. But, Lord, a very serious context and very serious subject. Lord, I'm dealing with friendship. I pray, God, You'd help us with that. Help us with our marriages and our homes, Lord, tonight. And I pray that You'd help our church to grow spiritually. Help us to grow, Lord, mentally, physically. Lord, I pray that for the little ones, Lord, they'll grow. And, Lord, grow up to serve You. And, Lord, they'll have happy homes if time stands. And I pray, God, You'd help us to be the examples before others that You'd have us to be. Now, have Your will and way in all that's said, all that's done. We'll thank You. We'll praise You for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. As we look at this verse of Scripture, very familiar verse of Scripture, as I said, I want to focus tonight on how to have friendship in marriage. A lot of marriages, they're couples, but their couples are not friends. They don't have a friendship or a relationship with each other. And so we need to discuss that tonight, what the Scripture says on how we can have a happy marriage and how our marriage can have a good relationship, and the fact that our marriage needs to have some friendship in it. Amen? It's one thing to have a relationship. I know a lot of people have relationships, but they don't have a friendship. It's strained or it's irritated or it's a struggle to be in a relationship because they don't have a friendship. So the most important ingredient, I believe, that's missing in a lot of marriages is the simple thing called friendship. You meet a lot of people, and I walked through Lowe's the other day. I believe it was Friday evening. Me and the wife stopped by Lowe's. I was looking at some outside lights and things like that, and I walked through there and had to run to the restroom right quick. And so I was walking back toward the back, and there was a young couple standing back there, and I don't know that they're married or not. I didn't get into no details. They didn't talk to them. But I was going down the aisle, and I hear this young guy just hollering at this young girl. He says, "We're not doing this. You need to make your mind up." I mean, he was just blasting right there in the public. And he said, "If we're going to build a house, you got to decide what you want." And this young girl was standing there with this look on her face of embarrassment, disgust, discouraged. I mean, you could just tell. And she's kind of glancing at the corner of her eye because she's seen me coming down the aisle. And I thought about, whenever I walked by, the first thing I thought about, there's a messed up relationship. There's something wrong there. He's trying to be ruler with an iron fist, and you can't do that. Amen. And he's being so hateful to her, and I started to walk by and said, "Look, if you ain't married that dude, don't do it." anyway, I didn't get a chance to do that. But I thought about that, and I thought, man, what a messed up relationship it is to be out in a public place and just looking at cabinets and things for a house. Don't even have a house, and just looking at that, and then that type of attitude. And so that's the way of the world. Amen. The world's attitudes are wicked, they're ungodly, and it's all about themselves. The biggest problem in marriages is lust and selfishness. That's the biggest problems you'll find in marriages and relationships, is lust and Selfishness. Now, when we talk about lust, the first thing people think about is looking at somebody else's spouse or something like that. That's not what we're dealing with primarily as the only thing. There's also a lot of other things that fits under that realm or under the umbrella of lust. And that's things that we selfishly desire for ourselves. Those things that we lust after, those things that we desire, the things that we want, whether it hurts somebody else or not, or whether it affects our relationship or not. So we have to understand we're to be spirit-led, not fleshly-led. Moving right along. So the most important ingredient missing in a lot of marriages is friendship. And people confuse love, communication, and friendship, and relationship. They confuse those things. Love is not lust. Amen? Love is not lust. Whenever lust is over with and done with, there's nothing left to hang on to. There's nothing there. If it's love, it'll stay there. Amen? You'll have something to hold on to. There'll be something to build on if there's love. Two people love each other now are dealing with a relationship that is strained when they don't have friendship. Many people get married for what they call love, but it's really lust. And lust, when it wears off, there's nothing to hang on to. One thing that married couples need to develop is friendship with each other. My wife and I was talking the other day. Matter of fact, on Valentine's Day, she gave me a Valentine card. Bless her heart, she's such a sweetheart. And of course, I gave her one too. But in her Valentine card, she added some words in because they never say what you want them to say. And she wrote in there that I was her bestest best friend. And she's my bestest best friend. So that makes us BBFs. Okay, some of y'all got that anyway. We're BBFFs, bestest best friends forever. Amen. But we're friends. She's my wife, but she's also my friend. We was friends in high school. We've been friends ever since we went to high school. That was many years ago, and nobody says amen right there. We've been friends for a long time, but we are friends. We became friends, and then we married, and we kept that friendship. Amen. What would a friend do? The scripture says that a friend will stick closer than a brother.
Amen.
Amen. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And you can't be friends with your spouse if you don't show yourself friendly. And so what does a friend do? A friend will stick by you if he's a true friend. There's a lot of people that say that they're friends, but when the rubber meets the road and things get tough, they ain't nowhere to be found. I've had a lot of friends, so-called friends in my life, people that said they was friends, and whenever things went wrong or things went south, they deserted me. They was gone, nowhere to be found. That wasn't a true friend. But a friend, a true friend, they'll stick by you. They'll protect you. They'll cover for you. Amen? You got friends at work, something goes wrong? Well, they do. They jump in to cover for you. I got a good friend at work. I first went to work for Caroline Thomas 8 years ago. We was doing a job, and I was green, didn't have a clue what I was doing. We're drilling holes and mounting cameras, and this is our first rodeo. He didn't really know what he's doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I drilled right through the top of the bus, bit a big old hole around the top of it, right in the roof of a brand spanking new bus, $100,000 bus, and there's a skylight that I just drilled in it. Oh, I thought, well, great, I'm going to get fired for sure. And I just told him, well, whatever, I did it. You know, I'll own up to it. Whatever happens, happens. But my really good friend, I didn't realize he's that good of a friend, he took up for me. He took the rap for me. He said, I did that. And I looked at him and said, no, you didn't. You didn't do that. He said, shut up, man. He said, you're new. I've been here a while. They won't say nothing to me. You'll get fired. And so anyway, as time goes on now, everybody knows the truth that he took up for me. But that was a good friend. Yeah. And man, he covered for me, saved my job. And I don't know if they'd really fired me, but anyway, a friend will cover for you. They'll do things for you that that others won't do if he's a real good friend. I had friends growing up in school. I had some young, there's some young guys in our neighborhood. We used to ride bikes together, and we was like brothers. We'd play football. We'd beat each other up. We'd tackle each other, throw each other on the ground, smack each other around. We had a good time. We was friends. You didn't mess with us. Amen. We was a pack. If you touched one of us or messed with one of us, you messed with all of us. That's just the way we were. We were friends. That's the way it ought to be in a relationship. Amen. You mess with my wife, you're messing with me. Right. Messing with my children, you're messing with me. Amen. Yeah. That's the way it ought to be. We're a pack. We're a family. And so we think about friends and friendship and things like that. We need friendship in our marriage. The Bible talks about friendship love as well as agape love. Agape love is a supernatural unexplainable love empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has an agape love for us. It's unconditional. Amen? God loves us unconditionally. And we are to have that same agape love toward our spouses. We're to love God that way, unconditionally, because He loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what the Bible says. And we're to love each other with that agape love. But there's also, we're to have that friendship love. Good friends communicate freely with each other. They spend time with each other. And they care for each other. I know a lot of my friends, we used to ride bikes together. And every day after school, as soon as we got our homework done, boy, we was ready to hit the road. Jump on them bikes and take off and ride over the neighborhood. Used to, you could do that. You can't do that now. People about half crazy anymore. You wouldn't want to get outside your house most of the time. But we used to ride all over the neighborhood, and we'd spend hours. I mean, way up into the night hours, 9 and 10 o'clock at night. My mother worked third shift, and sometimes she'd have to send somebody after me before she went to work because I need to get home, get into bed. And we'd be out riding our bikes, just having a good time. Not doing anything mean or nothing like that, but we as friends, spending time together. That's what friends do. Amen. Y'all got a friend?
Amen.
Friends are hard to find. A good friend's hard to find.
You're right.
A good friend. There's a lot of folks that say they're our friends and they get us in trouble.
Yep.
Now be careful. I preached a message one time, and be careful who your friends are. Because sometimes those that we think are our friends that get us to do wrong and go against the Word of God and go against the things of God and get us into a mess, amen, and then whenever all of it falls apart, they're out of there. They're gone. Amnon, the Bible says, had a friend. And whenever he convinced him to do what was wicked and wrong and against the Word of God and the will of God, everything began to fall apart and his friend was gone. Be careful who your friends are. But it's good to have a friend, and if a man's going to have a friend, he's going to have to show himself friendly. Now, let me give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. It never fails. That's love. Amen. Love in a relationship, if it's love and not lust, it'll never fail. Lust to fail. Love and friendship go hand in hand. Let me read you some more scripture. If you want to jot this down, you can. You don't have to follow along unless you just want to. But in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. Now, if there's friendship love within the marriage, guess what that means? A friend loveth at all times. No matter what the circumstance or situation is, amen, loveth at all times. The Bible also says in Proverbs 27, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. The scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, a lot of times we use that verse of scripture, and I know pastors use that, preachers use that for pastors to help other pastors, ministers to help other ministers. But here we find in this context, using it this way or applying it this way, is that a friend sharpeneth the counsel of a friend. Amen. Friendship and marriage. What do you need to do? Well, you need to communicate. Communication will help you. So I got seven things I wrote down. I want to share them with you tonight. This will help you with your friendship in your marriage. How can I have friendship in my marriage? First of all, focus on communicating. Focus on communication in a godly fashion. There's ways to communicate, and I've dealt with this before. But there's ways to communicate. You can communicate in a hateful way. You can communicate in an angry way. And that's not good communication. Learn to communicate in a godly fashion. Amen? Learn to be a good listener.
Amen.
It's not always about what you say, but sometimes it's about just shutting up and listening.
Amen.
My wife was talking to me the other night. Bless her heart. I love her to death, and I was so tired. And she was just talking and telling me about her day. And I was really trying to focus. I really was, and I was zoned out. I was gone. And she got quiet, and I come back too, and I said, what was you saying? sometimes it's good to listen, amen, but she can read a book, and I'll go out like a light. I mean, she's just got that voice. When she's talking to me, it's just something about that sweet voice that she has that just puts my lights out. So I try to stay focused when she's talking to me, but we got to learn to communicate and learn to listen, amen. When we communicate, though, communicate in a godly fashion. Communicate with a spirit of grace Amen. Communicate in a spirit of meekness. And don't be hateful with it. Don't be harsh with your communications. Don't get to screaming and all that. I've got a lot of scripture to back this up. And this will help us. I know some people get angry. Some people get in a heated moment and they'll lash out. They'll scream and holler. And then, you know, later on they come back and apologize. I'm sorry for my actions. Well, you got to learn to control those actions. There's a thing called discipline. Amen. We got to learn to discipline ourselves, discipline our actions, discipline our emotions. Be spirit-led and not flesh-led. Amen. Don't let the flesh lead, let the spirit lead. The Bible has a lot to say about that. So one of the things I want you to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4, in a very familiar passage of Scripture. Again, I know I'm dealing with all this. It's familiar to you. But Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 26, "Be angry and sin not, not let the sun go down upon your wrath." It's okay to be angry, but where the problem comes in is whenever we sin. You're mad at some situation in your marriage. Something's happened. Somebody said something. Whatever the case is, you're angry about it. It's okay sometimes to be angry, but how you react to that is where the sin comes in. Amen? So we have to be careful. Keep ourselves in subjection to the Spirit. What would God have me to do? How would He have me to react to this situation? Amen. My wife told me the other day that somebody told her that she was pretty. I said, "How old was he?" He was a young guy. He's 12, 13 years old, something like that. So, okay, he can get away with it. But one of those teachers up there tried to say that, and that's a different story. Amen. I'm a jealous husband. Ought to be. God gave me my wife. Amen. And it's fine to be jealous. You better be jealous. Amen. You better love her, because if you don't, somebody else will.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's right. So, we have to have this thing called communication and communicating in a godly manner. It's okay to be angry. And I don't want to say tonight don't be angry, because we all get angry. Anger happens, but it's how you act when you get angry. Sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut and walk away than it is to open your mouth and say a bunch of things you're going to regret later.
That's right.
I mean, I've heard couples cuss each other. I've heard them say some of the worst things in the world. We had a couple that came here to the church a few years ago, and they was an elderly couple, and it was just unbelievable how they fussed and growled at each other, and 80-some years old. And it's like, you guys, first of all, even if you're not saved, you're too old to be acting like that. Amen? You need to act with some respect for each other. But communicate in a godly fashion. Let me move on. Share what's on each other's heart. It'd be real good in a friendship. A friend would share with you what's on their heart. You ever had a friend say, "Hey, can I tell you something? Can I talk to you about something?" I got friends like that. They'll come to me and say, "Hey, can I talk to you about something?" Well, sure you can. And what happens when that friend talks to you about something they don't want to go any further? You better not let it go any further. That's a good way to lose a friendship. Yep. Amen? That's a good way to have problems in your relationship, in your marriage, if you go to flapping your gums about something your spouse has talked to you about and didn't want nobody else to know about it. Hello, we're having a good time tonight, aren't we? Yes, sir. It's good. Share what's on each other's heart, but share it with each other and let it stop there. One of the worst things in the world, and I hope y'all never have to deal with this, I hope you never see this, one of the worst things in the world is for somebody to go to work or to the workplace or out in public and begin to talk about their spouse and talk about some of the thoughts that their spouse has and just run them down and be ridiculing them behind their back. I know some guys that do that kind of stuff. And I had a gentleman say something to me the other week, and he's talking about his wife and something that she said, and he just kind of rolled his eyes. And I said, "Look, man, don't be like that. Talk to her. If you think what she's doing is stupid, or you think there's no use in doing it, or it's a waste of time, talk to her. Share what's on your heart. Don't let her make a foolish mistake and then laugh at her about it." Amen? Spend time with each other. Share what's on each other's on each other's heart. Share special thoughts and special things. I know we just celebrated Valentine's Day, and we do a lot of that, sharing special thoughts and special things and stuff like that. But let's thank each other. One of the great ways to have a good relationship and have friendship in your marriage is to thank each other. Amen. My wife fixed lunch for me today. You know what I said? "Thank you, honey. It was good. She did a good job." It's okay to think she washes my clothes. I thank her for that too. I don't always do that. But listen, every chance I get when it hits my mind, "Thank you, dear, for what you're doing or for what you've done." She cleaned the house up. She does it every week. And I thank her for it. If it wasn't for my wife cleaning the house up, the place would be a wreck, because I hardly have time to do anything. I am too busy. So learn to thank each other, amen? A friend, be friendly and thank each other, communicate with each other, share what's on your heart with each other, spend some time sharing special thoughts, special things. My wife and I have done that here recently. There's a lot of stuff on our heart and our mind dealing with the church and other things like that. And I like to know what's on her mind. I like to know what's on her heart, amen? Let me say something, guys. Don't think you're the only one knows it all. Amen. Don't think that you're the only one that has any idea how this thing's going to go, because you'll be fooled real fast. A lot of times, Mama knows a whole lot more than you do. Hello? Is everybody all right? Sometimes your wife will know things or see things that you don't see. And if you don't talk to her and get something from her, get some input from her, you'll never see that. And it'll blindside you, and then she'll look at you and laugh and say, well, I saw that coming. And then you'll feel like a toad, but anyway. So be sure to communicate with each other. Talk about the special things, amen? Have friendship. Thank each other for what you do, amen? That goes both ways. I mean, I talk about thanking my wife. My wife thanks me, too, for the things that I do, for caring for her, for loving her, providing for her, amen? So do that. Share those things with each other. Spend time in God's Word together. That'll help your friendship. Amen. And it also helps your relationship. Spend time in God's Word together. Amen. Now, most of us, we work a full-time job. Some of us work a full-time. Some of us stay home, and that's fine. The husbands work and the wives stay home. That's nothing wrong with that. Anything wrong with that. But our schedules, it's hard for us to sit down and spend time together. But you can do that also, spend time in God's Word together. So if you read your Bible in the morning and she reads hers in the afternoon, then you can share what you've studied. Hey, I studied this today. Hey, I read this verse of Scripture. A lot of times during the course of the day, I'll be reading something on my phone because I got two or three Bible apps, and I'll be reading something on my phone, and I'll text it to my wife. It'll just hit me, and I feel like I need to share that with her, and I'll text her, hey, look at this verse of Scripture that I just read, and share maybe what it means to me. And sometimes she'll do me the same way. So read the Word of God together and share that. Amen? Spend time together in the Word of God. You'd be surprised what the Word of God will do in your relationship and in your friendship. Amen? This may be boring to you, but it'll help you in the future, I promise you. Share what's on each other's heart. Spend time in God's Word together. Then be kind to each other. A friend is usually kind to one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. Get back over there and read that verse of Scripture again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. The Bible says that charity suffereth long and is kind. Be kind one to another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Learn to be forgiven. Be kind to each other. Amen. Don't respond in a hateful way. Come home from work, had a hard day at work, maybe had a bad day at work. And you come in the house and something's not done like you think it ought to be done, and you lash out and you get all rude and crude and mean and ugly and everything else. So wonder if she don't bust you in the head with a ball bat, frying pan, or whatever she get her hands on. Amen. Be kind to each other. Yeah, you may have a bad day at work, and we all have those days, but try to get over it before you get home. And be kind to your spouse. Amen. That's a two-way street. That's not just for the husbands. That's for the wives too. Amen. Be kind to each other. Speak kind. Learn to be led of the Spirit, not led of the flesh. Be tender-hearted. Don't be selfish. The Scripture here says in verse number 32, be kind to one another and tender-hearted. One thing that we have a major problem with, and every one of us can say amen right here, what we have a major problem with is it's how our days went. And what's happened in my life, and what's going on with me, and then we're angry or we're upset or whatever, and we lash out, and we don't even take into consideration what might have went on in the spouse's day. So we need to learn to be tenderhearted. Amen. Don't be selfish. It's not all about you. Don't focus on having it your way. Things don't go your way, don't get all mad and upset. Amen. Learn to deal with some things. Learn to forbear one another, forgive one another. Husbands are to lead the home. Amen. We all know that. We understand that. Husband is to be the head of the home. If husband makes a mistake, wife is have to, they have to deal with that. Amen. Don't sit back and say, well, I told you so. And that's not being kind and tenderhearted. So, honey, I was praying for you. I was afraid you was going to make that mistake, whatever the case may be. But it's not the wife's place to tell the husbands how to run the home. It's the wife's place to be tenderhearted and loving and praying for the husband, amen, and let him make his mistakes. I've made plenty of them, and I've learned by my mistakes, amen. But be tenderhearted. Don't be selfish. I know there's a lot of times that the women of the home, they try to run the home, and they want it their way. There's some that's left our church because that's the way they wanted it. They wanted it their way at their home, and that's the way they run their home. And they thought when they come to church, they could run it that way. They could have their way here at church. It don't work like that. Amen? Wives don't rule the home. Wives don't rule the church. God rules the church. The man's to rule the home. And so we have to understand that and learn that. So learn to be tenderhearted. Don't be selfish. Don't think it's all got to be your way. But learn, first of all, men, learn your place as a husband. Amen. Learn your place. But you're to do, you submit yourselves one to another and submit yourselves to God. You submit yourself to God in a humble fashion and submit yourself as the authority figure of your home. You do that humbly, not with an iron fist. God will give you direction. God will give you wisdom, and you'll learn how to guide and guard your home. Amen.
Amen.
And the wives will learn to fall right in there and support that. Don't be selfish. Don't be focused on your way. The old nature does not want to be tenderhearted. Our old nature wants to just lash out and just be angry and fuss and fight and feud. And that's not God's way for a Christian home to be. Amen? It's not based on fussing and fighting and anger and bickering and all that mess. That's the way of the world. That's wicked. That's ungodly. God never intended for the home to be that way. Be forgiven. Again, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be forgiven. Learn to forgive each other. I learned that in the Bible school. Me and my wife was young and I was in Bible college, and I found out this thing of forgiveness, how that works. First of all, it starts at home. And I never even put that together. As a young man, whenever I was married, I didn't put it together that, you know, I figured forgiveness is, you know, you only hear about forgiveness at church, so you just forgive church people. And somebody messes with you at church or does something wrong to you at church, you just forgive them people and go on. It doesn't work that way. Forgiveness starts in the home. You got to learn to forgive your spouse. Amen. They make a mistake and they do something wrong, learn to forgive them. If they sin, you are to hold them accountable until they repent of that sin. You're to confront them with that sin. Amen? Hold on now. Now hang in there and listen to me. If the spouse has sinned against the Lord and the other spouse sees that, knows that, they are to confront them with their sin. Okay? Hold them accountable. What did the Scripture say again in Ephesians? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God didn't forgive us until we accepted Christ and repented of our sin. All right? So if there's sin, we're to confront each other with that sin. Confront the spouse that has the sin, whatever it is. Confront them. And if they repent, the Scripture says, if you go to your brother and ask for he asks for forgiveness, if he repent, you forgive him. Right? Didn't the Scripture say, they ask how many times shall we forgive? 7 times 7? That's forgiveness if they keep messing up, keep making mistakes, but not the same mistake. If they keep doing the same thing over and over and over, they never repented and they haven't got over that. And you hold them accountable. Amen. It's good stuff. It's to help you. But when they repent of that and they turn from that, the Scripture teaches us, be forgiven. Forget it. Let it go. Let me give you an example, and I don't want to get real deep in this because this will go on forever. But an example may be that maybe a husband looked at another woman. Maybe he had a thought that went across his mind and he shared that thought out loud. That would have been awful. All right? Well, if he'd done that and had that thought, and then the spouse said, That's against the Scripture. That's against me. You've offended me with your thought. You've offended me with what you said. For an example, he sees a lady walking down the street and says that she's good looking or whatever. The spouse says, honey, you have offended me. That offends me that you would say that or even think that. Immediately, the husband's response is to say, forgive me for offending you. And turn from that and clean his mind up, amen, and not do that mess again. And if he does, then the wife is to forgive him. Make sense? Well, what if he makes another mistake? If it's the same mistake, he's not repented. Amen? But if he makes another mistake, then you continue to forgive him. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Don't be holding a grudge. Some people will do something and repent of it and get away from it and turn from it, but then the spouse will hold a grudge. Grudges will kill a marriage. They'll kill a friendship. They'll kill a relationship. The Bible says, grudge not one against another. Amen? Be forgiven. Bitterness is the root cause of all the wicked problems in marriages. You have to learn to turn from bitterness. The Bible says, let all bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let all that stuff be put away from you. That's the biggest problem. Some of the biggest problems in marriages because of bitterness. It's the root cause. It causes anger and it causes wrath. It causes evil speaking, saying things that you regret later. And I even know people to get so mad that they curse each other. And listen, that's not of God. God said, put that stuff away from you. That's the way the world acts. God's people don't act like that. Amen. Put that stuff away from you. We've got to learn to be led of the Spirit, not led of the old natural man that doesn't want to give in, doesn't want to do things God's way. The natural man wants to do it our way. We've got to learn to change that, learn to be disciplined, and learn to put bitterness away from us. Out of bitterness comes anger, comes wrath, and all these other things that's listed in this verse. We have to learn to be Spirit-led. All right, so here's my thoughts, and I didn't number these for you, but let me give them to you. First of all, focus on communication. Number two is share what's on each other's heart. Number three, spend time in God's Word together. Number four, be kind to each other. Number five is to be tenderhearted. Number six is to be forgiven. And number seven, which is the number of perfection, amen, number seven, learn to be Spirit-controlled. Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 17, very familiar passage of Scripture, wherefore be ye not unwise and understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's not just for ministry. If you're going to go somewhere in ministry, understand what the will of the Lord is. That's not just for what church you go to, understand what the will of the Lord is. That's in your marriage, in your friendship, in your relationship. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for the spouses that make up our churches, the homes that make up our churches, is to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Christ-honoring, and the homes be full of the Spirit and the love of God. Amen. Happy children, happy homes, happy wives. Amen. Somebody once said and made the statement, and you hear this all the time, people make the statement, mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. And sometimes we all pick and we cut up and say that, you know, and a lot of times that's true. If the wife ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But listen, mama's not the thermometer for the home. God is. Amen. Amen. If mama's not right with God, you don't try to make mama happy just to make the home happy. Amen. Mama needs to get right with God. Amen. Amen. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for the spouses to be Spirit-led, both of them. Amen. To have a friendship, have a relationship that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be Spirit-led. Led of the Spirit. Without being Spirit-led, your marriage will be a war zone. Amen? It'll be a war zone. It'll be a relationship that has no friendship. Learn to be friendly. And I want to encourage you tonight, each one of you, to be strong friends in your relationship, in your marriage. Put these things into practice and do these things. Learn to be forgiven. Learn to share what's on each other's heart. Learn to focus on God's way and God's will. Amen. Those things will help you. Help you to have a deep, strong friendship within your marriage. These things will help you. You'll have a deep and abiding love for each other, and it'll help your marriage, and it'll help you be what God wants you to be. And it'll help your home to be what God wants it to be. Amen. I hope this is a help to you tonight. How to have friendship in the marriage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the